Welcome to Crime and Wine. I'm Pamela Fagan Hutchins, your host, and this is the show where I talk with other crime fiction writers about the stories of thrills and suspense that will leave you mystified, sometimes horrified, and always wanting more. Please join me in welcoming today's special guest.
Well, hello out there, you guys. I am so excited to welcome you to this episode of Crime and Wine, coming to you from the wilds of northwestern Maine, where we hope the technology gods will favor us. Today, I have a special guest that's coming and joining us from way across the world. In fact, so far across the world that her today is my yesterday, or my today is her tomorrow, or something like that. Please join me in welcoming L.A. Larkin, and she's better known to her friends as Louisa. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
You guys, don't forget that you can like, you can comment, and I will take your questions as long as they're PG rated, you guys, for Louisa as we go along here. So Louisa had a double book launch last week with her new Sally Fairburn crime thriller series with Next Girl Missing and Her Deadly Truth. I mean, talk about a big day. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've never done a double book launch before, and it was a little bit scary, as in, you know, it all comes out at once, you know, and you're thinking, I really hope everybody loves Sally Fairburn, and, you know, you're just sort of watching the reviews and keeping your fingers crossed, but, you know, so far so good, so I'm hopeful, although it's only been a few days since it actually came out. Well, they actually came out.
It is super exciting. And I have read the first Sally Fairburn book. Guys, we were talking before we came on, commiserating about Louisa's jet lag and my staying up till 10 o'clock to do the show. Oh my gosh. Give me a drink of coffee, I think. That's what I need. But tell everybody a little bit about Sally, if you would, and these books, since they're brand new to all of us.
Yeah. Oh, with pleasure. You can probably tell from my accent that I live in Australia. I was born in England, but I love America. You know, there you go. And so what do? I set my new series in the imaginary city of Franklin in the USA, which gives me all the kind of little sort of nooks and crannies and scary locations that I could possibly desire. The story is about Sally Fairburn. She's a 45-year-old mum with a teenage son, and she's a former cop who has been a victim support advocate. She's a very compassionate, very kind person, and a champion of victims of crime. And the irony of it all is that she, for many, many, many years, in fact, all the years that she was married to another cop, didn't realize that she was being gaslighted by him, really brutally gaslighted by him, completely lost faith in herself, connection to what was actually the truth of what was going on around her. Cut forward to the present day of the story of Next Missing Girl. Sally's kind of on the process of recovering from all that. Husband has gone. And she's walking along the street, and a poster, a missing person poster, is on the bus shelter. And she kind of sort of looks at it briefly and then does a double take and looks at it again. And she is the missing person. And this is the prelude to something that there's a serial killer who hasn't been caught, known as the poster killer, who puts up posters of his victims the moment before he takes them.
Which is a chilling thought, to see yourself and you're the next one. your next girl missing.
Well, yes, except that this particular serial killer tends to prefer young girls and can't. And so the big thing of this is, well, one of the big things is, why would a killer with a very particular pattern suddenly target someone who is a mum with a teenage son? You know, what's going on? And I won't say any more than that, but it does become a battle of survival.
And it's a very, very exciting book. You guys totally need to check this out. But I would like to know, given that this is not your first rodeo, you're not your, as we say in the U.S., right? You like things U.S., not your first rodeo. You have written other crime thrillers. This is a new protagonist for you. How much of Louisa do you find in Sally?
Not very much, to be honest with you, because I tend to write, or have tended to write, fairly feisty, go-get-em type female central characters. I particularly wanted, as this is a series, and I wanted the central character to have somewhere to go.
Right.
Like sort of a kind of journey of her as a person, not just the kind of crimes that she faces and has to work through. So it was really sort of, I wanted to have a character who starts off completely doubting her own abilities and not having realized her true potential. And of course, what the story is, the Sally Fairbairn kind of sort of character arc, will be how she begins to realize, because she has no choice but to pull, sort of kind of pull on her own innate abilities. She learns gradually through the series that she was actually born to be a detective, but never in until now even considered that she was worthy of such a thing.
Yeah, I enjoyed the looking at her past through her current relationship with her ex-husband, and seeing how she ended up in this victim's advocate role instead of challenging his masculinity by living up to her potential originally. It was a really powerful thing, especially because she is advocating against the system, as you will, from being an outsider now as an ex-cop and never having been a detective, and for women that need her to be strong. So it worked for me, Louisa.
Oh, good. I'm really pleased. Because it is hard to write, I think it's actually very hard to write a character that isn't strong in a way, because the thing you have to do, and this is what I worked hard to do, is to make sure that she wasn't pathetic or unsympathetic or boring.
Right.
You know, if you've got a kind of a strong kick-ass, say, cop character, it's quite easy to, you know, to, for people to say, yeah, go on, go. And so I wanted to make sure that people understood where she had come from. But then, of course, as Next Girl Missing goes, you begin to see that she's got all those skills that she actually will need to survive being hunted by a serial killer.
That's right, because I would suspect there's more of that coming for her.
Yeah, I think there might be. Strangely.
So with this series, I you know, when I was Facebook stalking you and Amazon stalking you earlier today, you've written some standalones. You've written another two book series, but this is going to be a longer series for you. There's more than two planned at this point for Sally. So it is really an opportunity to explore a really exciting dynamic character arc.
Yeah, and I really, as I said, I think it's taken me a while to feel myself confident enough that I could sustain this.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's a big. I think it's not right to underestimate, you know, the work that goes on into planning a new character that is going to have to be interesting over quite a number of books.
Right.
You know, it's, and you have to make sure also that there's somewhere for that character to go. I mean, look, I know there are sort of fantastic characters like, you know, Lee Charles, Jack Reacher, one of my favorites, who has this particular rhythm in every book, you know, turns up at a, you know, a city, a town, you know, mm-hmm. small country town, gets off the bus, immediately faces trouble, someone who needs help. You know, just goes through that sort of thing, gets back on the bus and so on. But, you know, it's finding a way to make sure that there is always something for that character realistically to get involved in and to, right. to learn and develop, I think.
And it's interesting to me, too, like you take a Jack Reacher where there is a built-in way for him to have to adapt to new environments. So you get, while you may not get a lot of growth, right? You no. might get a lot of change in Jack. No. Circumstances change. But when you yes. take a mom, ex-cop, she's in the town she's in, you don't have that luxury. You have to create the change within the character, not the change within the environment. So it's a stretch for an author. And I look at authors who've written just tremendously long series before, just taking female protagonists and just taking our own bookature authors for a moment, Lise Reagan, D.K. Hood, Angie Marsons, you know, just some really long series where they've been able to do this. And I look at them sometimes and I think, how do you do that? Yeah.
I know.
When you got to number 15, what were you telling yourself? And because it's got to stay interesting for Louisa in order for it to yes. stay interesting for everyone else. It's and that's
yeah I think the more I think you're so right. I think the more the further in a series that you get, the more difficult it is for the author to stay motivated, because let's face it, we all like the challenge of something new, you know.
Absolutely.
I think it'll be finding that's why I'm keen to start where kind of Sally, you know, in Next Girl Missing is not actually at rock bottom. She's coming out of it, mm-hmm. but she's still extremely vulnerable. And then, you know, is she really out of the husband, the ex-husband's called Scott, you know, is she really beyond his powers? And, you know, could he still perhaps step back into her life and start ruining everything that she is trying to do, particularly for her son, her teenage son.
And when you have a child together, it's they've got a trap door to come back in at you with. So that's some ripe opportunity there.
It might be. Yes, it might be.
We hope she stays interesting for you, because I found her very interesting. I found her not like everybody else. And you know that isn't that what we're striving for with a new protagonist, is not the same as everybody else's. So
well, also because I've tended to also write central characters who are more kind of late 20s, maybe mid 30s, and then I was thinking, you know, whenever I go to do talks, whether it's at a writer's festival or wherever it is, and then I look at the people in the room, I'm thinking an awful lot of them are 45 plus.
Right.
In fact, some of the biggest purchasers of books are, in fact, retired. They are retired people who luckily now have time to sit down and enjoy a really good book. So I thought, well, why don't I try writing a character who is still very fit and healthy and, you know, sort of immersed in life, but is a little bit older and see how it goes. So she, you know, she's 45, but, you know, she's finished up with the as a victim support advocate, and she's looking for her next kind of step in life. And I thought, well, you know, let's see how that goes.
I love it. I love the idea that she brings more life experiences and more baggage, right?
Oh, plenty of that.
Plenty of years that baggage. Well, let's spend our last few minutes together. I'm trying to say that like a Maynard, together. trying what we call the speed round on crime and wine, which I do want to say that since my last episode, I just realized that the show's been honored as one of the top 20 crime fiction podcasts. I guess it's a podcast, video cast, whatever, show. And so thank you to the internet gods for that.
Oh, wow. Well done. Woohoo. I feel like I should have some champagne or something.
Exactly. I've been doing this for years, you know, as a side hustle for no pay. I finally got some pay, some recognition.
That's wonderful. Well done.
So the speed round, I'm just going to ask you some of the same questions that I ask other authors, because my listeners and my viewers like to be able to compare how those go. And by the way, Julie Smith, Julie, I see your comments all the time, and I'm not going to try to pronounce your name live on the air because I've never tried before. It starts with an M. Julie, thank you for checking in and commenting. It's good to hear from you. I hope you'll check out Louisa's books. Okay, Louisa, dog, cat, or other for pet? Or no?
Dog.
Dog, yay.
Dogs. I got two golden retrievers.
Aww. I love them.
They come with me everywhere. Well, except to England. That's too far. Yeah. Wherever I can, they come with me.
Okay. Pizza or sushi?
Sushi.
Sushi. And if you... Okay. Silliest thing in your office right now. I'm looking behind you to see what you've got.
Maybe the little orange creature here. Where
what is he? Or she? I noticed it a moment ago. Oh, wow. Oh, lovely.
It's a dog. It's a slightly crazy, manic looking dog.
I love it.
Mwah.
I love it.
All right, don't worry. They're laughing at you. I don't care.
So she's got this gorgeous bug-eyed dog for those of you that are podcasting instead of video casting.
Yes.
You play the lottery, pretend you do. If you don't, you win. What's the first five things you buy?
Buy up huge tracts of land in different countries where there are endangered species so that can protect the endangered species. Plus I buy a castle in Scotland.
A castle in Scotland.
I've always wanted one of those. Yes. I don't want to. And then I would fill it with hundreds of dogs. Each dog would have its own bedroom and its own butler.
Then I'd come visit you. So we have lots of tracts of endangered species protecting land and a dog castle. Very nice. Would you or Sally have a theme song?
I'm not really a music person. I don't know whether I can answer that question. Can we move on?
Yeah, the answer to that is no. Would you? No. All right. And let's see. If you could travel to one place in the world, either some place you've already been and love or something new and exotic you haven't tried yet, where would it be?
Well, my favorite place in the world that I have been, I've been to both the Arctic and the Antarctic. Ooh. So I'm big on ice and very cold. But I think the one place I haven't, one of the many places I haven't yet been that I'd really like to go is the Galapagos Islands, because it has unique wildlife that's not seen anywhere else, and it's very magical, and I would really like to go there.
And I believe some of those animals there are endangered. It would be a fantastic trip, and I hope you get to go. I hope that Sally goes with you if you go, and that you ride with Sally.
Yeah, I'd like her to come along. She's good. She's a nice. I would be very happy for her to be my friend.
Well, I think that this has been so much fun. We had a really nice chat, in fact, before we even came on the air.
Yeah,
so It was so great to meet you. And thank you for being on tonight. You guys, go out and check out L.A. Larkin. It's the Sally Fairburn, said it right that time, series. Start with book one, Next Girl Missing. And I will be seeing you on the interwebs. And thanks for coming on again. Louisa is going to pop out now, and we'll go through the obligatory ending sequence, everyone. So if you want to catch past shows, prepare for upcoming shows. You can find it on a page on my website, PamelaFaganHutchins.com, where you can also find one of my newest releases. You should check out Bighorn or Sitting Duck. You can read all of my books in Kindle Unlimited or get them in any format. Ask your library or bookstore to order the print copies for you, hardback, large print, whatever you want, if they don't carry them. And here's the important thing. All hail Pam Stack, our producer. Crime and Wine is copyrighted and solely owned by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I'm going to catch you guys next time. Until then, go out and read a good book. I recommend mine or Louisa's. Check them out. Bye, guys.
Thanks for joining us today on Crime and Wine, chats with crime fiction authors and Pamela Fagan Hutchins. We hope you enjoyed this episode and will check back in with us next time for more thrills, suspense, and stories that will mystify, sometimes horrify, and always leave you wanting more.